Okay, so we are on Chof Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. We're on the fourth wide line. V'im ne'enes m'shalemes ma'asher ne'enes. So that is again quoting from our Mishnah a little bit earlier, when the Mishnah had been talking about Shein, right? The specific category of damages of Shein, when an animal eats something and gets benefit from it, and it says v'im ne'enes, and if it gets benefit, then mashalem is mashe ne'enes. Okay, so this is the first point before we get on to the whole ze'enen of ezelo choser discussion, which I'll explain. It's a very interesting discussion, but before that we focus a little bit on Shein itself, on this category, and we talk about not just whether you pay, right, which is what we've talked about until now, but how much do you pay? So the Mishnah clarifies, how much do you pay? You pay the amount that you benefit. So that's still not that's still not clear enough. So the Gemara clarifies. V'kama, how much is that? Right? What's the when you say you have to pay the amount that you benefited from? How much exactly is that? How do you figure that out? So Rabba Omar Demei Amir. Yeah, you pay the amount of straw, basically the equivalent amount of straw. So it doesn't matter whether the animal ate strawberries. You know, it might have eaten fancy strawberries off your bush. It might have eaten something else. Which it gained benefit from, some very nice food. But the only amount that the bottom line is that the owner benefited only in as much as it doesn't have to feed the cow for one meal. You know, effectively, if it missed, if it now ate your food, then I no longer have to feed it as the owner. So therefore, what I gained as benefit is only the amount that I would have fed it anyway. And therefore, the assumption is that that's straw, classic food for an animal. And so you only have to pay the equivalent amount of that animal food, which is obviously can be notably less than what was actually lost. So you pay mishalemes masha nenes. That's the opinion of Rabba. Not to be confused with Rova. Rova Omar, again, Rabba with a hey, Rova with an aleph. Rova says that Demei Seorim Bazol. So he still says it doesn't need to be quite as much, but he does point out, yes, no, it should be, let's say the animal ate barley, so you do have to pay back for barley, barley being considered a higher quality food, a nicer type of animal food, but only Bazol, only the cheaper price, right? So Rashi here says 2/3, but basically the sort of like a lower end. It doesn't need to be the amount of particularly high quality barley. It's just a sort of a more standard. Even if it's better animal food, it needs to be again, you don't need to pay back the exact amount that the person actually lost, according to nobody, right? Because the Mishnah said, "Mashalem es mashenenes," you pay what was benefited, what you gained, not what was lost in this particular case. That's shame, particularly. Tanya Kavosei de Rabba, so we have a proof, we have something which sounds, we have a brisa which sounds a little bit like Rabba, and we have one, Tanya Kavosei de Rova, and we have another one which sounds a little bit like Rova. So one proof seems to go one way, one proof seems to go the other way. Tanya Kavosei de Rova, the proof that sounds like Rova is, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Meshalemes Ela Demei Omer Bilvad. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that very clearly. He says you only pay the amount equivalent to straw, right? That's the amount. The Demei meaning the monetary value of Omer, of straw, Bilvad, that's all you have to pay. So that sounds like Rabba, like the first opinion. V'tanya Kivosei de Rova, and we have another brisa which sounds like Rova in the opposite direction. What's that? It's similar to our Mishnah. So it starts off sounding the same as our Mishnah. Im nehenes, if the animal got benefit, mishalemes masha nehenes, it pays the amount that it benefited. Ketzad, how so? Ochlo kav o kabayim, it ate one kav or two kav, right? That's a measurement, a volume. Then, Ein omrim to shalem demehen, you don't have to pay the exact amount. Ela omdin kama adam rotze lahaachil libehemto dovor haro'ilo. You figure out how much the person would have given their animal that amount, right? I.e., from this sorim, from the nicer food. And then, afal picha en rogel, even though you're not usually, even though you don't usually pay, sorry, excuse me, even though you don't usually feed your animal, that particular sort of stuff, i.e., you don't usually feed them nicer food, you feed them cash, you feed them straw, you feed them omir, but actually because they ate something nicer, so you figure out how much you would have given them based on that. So that sounds a little bit more like rova, lefichach ochla chitin, o dovar hara la, but if it ate wheat or something else that's bad for it, then you are exempt. You don't even pay. You don't even pay that. Why? Because you didn't benefit. Because again, the animal hurts itself by eating it. So again, I'm not an animal expert. I don't know how bad wheat is for the animal. But certainly in the Gemara, a number of times it talks about. Well, at least for here, the principle is that if the animal ate something which is damaging to the animal, then that's not considered to be benefit, then you wouldn't pay. If it ate something which was more expensive, then we have this machlokas between Rabba and Rava. Rava says you pay the equivalent value in, or not the equivalent value, the equivalent amount in straw value, whereas Rava says no, you pay the equivalent amount in the type of food that it ate, although you don't have to pay necessarily top dollar for that particular thing. Just an interesting side note here, because it comes up many times in the Gemara, the idea of chitin being not good for animals, right? Wheat not good for animals, and barley is good for animals. The Gemara in a number of places talks about barley being animal, stereotypical animal food, and wheat being stereotypical human food. And we have, as we're approaching Pesach, many commentaries talk about the difference between the korban, the offering that we bring at Pesach, versus Shavuot. At Pesach we bring the korban omer, which is a barley offering, right, that particular offering, and then at Shavuot we bring the shtei halechem, which is made from wheat, and they say that the transition from Pesach to Shavuot is that sort of shift from more animalistic tendencies. You know, the freedom that we get initially at Pesach time is just is unbridled freedom. You know, that sort of anything goes. Whereas by the time we get to Shavuot and Matan Torah, the Torah is given, then it's more refined. And again, then we move on to human food in that moment. And if we want to talk a little bit more about the different types of freedom going from Pesach to Shavuot, then Shabbat Hagadol Joshua coming up in just over a week, we'll be talking a lot more about that. Yeah, shameless little plug. So leaving that aside, so we've got this machlokes between Rava and Rabba is exactly how much you pay, but we'll leave that there for now. Omale Rav Chista Leromi Bar Chama.
It can be shown that the benefit derived is more than the cheap straw that you may have been fed. Wouldn't you have to pay for the increased benefit?
Yes, if it could be shown, but how would you? Presumably, mishalem es masha nehneis. Well, I guess the question is, how are you defining the benefit? The point is, you in a sense, you can never prove it. I guess you could prove.
How can you assess how much an animal actually eats? Because different animals eat different amounts.
No, that's the point. So the benefit is the benefit to the owner, i.e., what would the owner have been doing at that time? You're saying, if you're an owner who usually feeds your animal particularly refined food, would you have to pay that benefit? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Saying, let's say you particularly would have done that, mm-hmm. whether according to Rava or according to Rabba. I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but my sense is that these are sort of set things. These are sort of going to be standards that are set across all sorts of cases, not determined by the owner themselves. What the point is over here is this is what normal benefit would be considered, and we have the machlokes as to what would be considered normal benefit, and that's what the amount being set is. But it's an interesting question. If you had a particular
to the owner or the animal.
Sorry?
It's a benefit to the animal, not the owner.
Yeah, I mean, again, that does come back to what we've talked about we've talked about, like, from a more hashkafic level. There's been a few times where this has come up that in some sense, you could argue that the In terms of perspective, it's the animal who's liable, but obviously the animal can't pay, so the owner is paying that debt off, or whether the owner is the one who's liable from the beginning, in a sense. So maybe that would shift in this case. I mean, to me, it sounds over here like it's the owner's benefit because again, it's the point is it's how much the owner is saving by not having to feed the animal at this moment. That's what it sounds like to me. How much you would have done anyway? Yeah. Okay. All interesting stuff. So Amalei Rav Chisda le Romi. We're getting into a very interesting sugya, and the Gemara tells you that it's a very interesting topic. How so? Amalei Rav Chisda le Romi bar Chama. He tells him something that's a little bit, it's just, you know, connected by the word benefit, now that we've mentioned the word benefit. So Rav Chisda says to Romi bar Chama, lo havis gabon b'urta bitchuma. We didn't see you in the shir. You missed your shir, right? Why did you miss the shir? You must have been out of town. You were outside the tchum. You were away, whether it was away on Shabbos, so you're just away doing something else. You didn't make it to the shir, and you missed a good one. So the Bailon mili ma'al yasa, right? It was particularly important thing. It was very very good shir. So Omar, so Rami Bar Chama now responds, my mili ma'al yasa. What was the very interesting thing that you were talking about? So Omalei Hadar Bechotzer Chavira. So as I said, even the Gemara says this is a good topic. Hadar Bechotzer Chavira, somebody who dwells in their friend's property, Shelo Midaita, without the other person's knowledge. I keep saying friend because Chavira is friend, but again, we're talking about somebody really, anyway. So you dwell in somebody else's property, Shelo Midaita, when they don't know. Sorich Lahaalos Loschar. Do you have to pay them? Oh, ain't sorich. Or do you not have to pay them? Okay, do you have to pay back for the benefit that you got? Hey Chidomis, the Gemara starts off trying to figure out, well, what exactly are we talking about? What is the case here? Ilema, let's say Bechotzer Delo Kaima La Agra. We're talking about a property which is not fit or not going to be rented out. We'll leave it as unable to be rented out for now. Maybe again we could refine that later on. But we're talking about a property which is not going to be rented out anyway, unable to be rented out. V'gavra delo ovid lemegar, and a person who also doesn't really need to be renting out. They live next door, but they fancy sleeping in the in the house next door. So they have a house. It's not like they need somewhere to stay. They're not looking to rent somewhere anyway. So then it's zelo nene v'zelo choser. You're not benefiting. You're not losing. So then for sure you're not paying. That's the impression you get. That's zelo nene v'zelo choser. Elo bechotzer de kaimal agra. Maybe we're talking about, and just to clarify, if we're talking about a chotzer de kaimal agra, a property that would have been rented out, v'gavra do'ovid lemegar, right? This person would have rented out that property, and and the person who is staying there would have rented a property as well. They were looking for somewhere to rent. Then that's zenene v'zechoser. Then this one is benefiting, and the other one's losing out, right? The person who's living there is benefiting, and the person who owns the property is losing out. So lo tzricha. So neither of those cases do we need to. And that again, that seemingly the obvious answer would have been that you would have to pay for that. So none of those cases is correct. Look, Tzricha, this is what we're talking about. Bechotzer de lo kaima de agra. This is a property that was not going to be rented out anyway. Okay, it was impossible. The guy was not renting this property out. Like we said, maybe a driveway. Okay, you're not renting out your driveway, and you're not there. You go away on holiday, empty driveway. There's no way you're renting it out. I don't even know if it's possible to rent it out. We'll assume not for now. V'gavra d'ovid l'mega. Now, I would have been paying for parking. Yes, I would have been paying for parking elsewhere. But because you had an empty driveway there, so I ended up using it. So then, what's the halacha? Motzi omar lei, can he say, my chisartich, what exactly did you lose out? You haven't lost anything, right? It was free, you wouldn't have been there anyway. Odilma, motzi omar, or maybe he could say, turning over the page, ha is hanes, you have benefited from me, you've benefited from my property, and therefore you would have to pay. Okay, so that's the question that we've set up. We've not got any answers. We'll come to the answers and the discussions and all of that, but everyone follow the question. Yeah, go on. Yes, right. Do they charge?
Oh, yeah.
In Stanmore? Why in Stanmore?
Well, because Stanmore, you drive down from the M1, you park in
Stanmore. And then you take the train to Wembley? Really? I don't remember that. My in-laws used to live on the last road before parking restrictions to
that's
Wembley.
Only, that London Road, you know, with the...
No, that's further away. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Stamford. I'm talking about in Kingsbury, really, on the way to Wembley. It's like a 35-minute walk, 40-minute walk, maybe, or something. But it was just outside the parking restriction. Once you get further than that, then it's into parking restriction. So then on Cup final day, the road was mobbed. I don't know if they ever used to rent out their driveways. How do you do that? There's like a list. I mean, nowadays, I guess it would be an app. Oh, really? What, on the door? On the driveway? Oh, now there's an app to do? There you go. Okay, so maybe you can. Okay, very good. So that's on Cup final day. But let's say it's the middle of the summer and they're away, right? You're the family's away anyway. Or let's say they haven't left out the sign. Well, I guess let's say they haven't left out the sign. So let's say they haven't left out a sign and they're away. So then maybe it's the... I guess that depends, which we haven't talked about. And I'm not sure we'll get to it. Depends on whether it's...
That's offer an acceptance. The sign's there saying, come and park on my drive.
Let's say there's no sign.
I thought you said there is a sign.
No, let's say there's no sign. So, but what I was going to point out is we haven't really talked about, and maybe we'll come back to it, whether chotzer de lo ovid, what do we call it? Chotzer de lo kaima la agra, something which is not fitting for rent, does that mean it's impossible to rent it out? Does it mean you weren't planning to rent it out, right? I.e. you yourself didn't have intention to rent it out, which is clear from the fact that you didn't put out the sign. Or does it mean it's not possible, whereas you could have done, in a sense? So that's so we'll come back to that also a little bit. The Gemara doesn't talk about that, but I think the Rishonim do. Okay, interesting. So yeah, so again, there's loads and loads of things. You can. The truth is that more and more. We'll talk about any of if any of these fall under the category, but I'll give you other examples which potentially might, and we'll discuss. I guess we can go through all of them and talk about them. Let's say Wi-Fi. Nowadays, more and more people, it's harder. You set passwords, but once upon a time, Wi-Fi used to be a bit more. So let's say you know that your neighbour pays for Wi-Fi, so you don't bother getting any, right? You know that if you sit in your dining room wall joins to your neighbour, and you could always sit there and use your laptop, and that would be fine. So you don't pay for Wi-Fi. You keep using their Wi-Fi. So is that a case of Zenon and maybe they lose, maybe their bandwidth drops and then they lose out. So, okay, also interesting discussion. Let's say getting on a bus. Okay, again, now it's much harder to do. Once upon a time, you used to be able to, and we'll talk about whether this is permitted or not. A permitted, or B, whether you have to pay back afterwards. But the old days of getting on a bus, where you just hop on the back, much easier to just get on the bus, and then you would, it was a little bit of a trust system sometimes, you know, whether you would go up and pay, but the bus is going there anyway. So the bus is going there anyway, so if I don't pay, so can they come back to me afterwards and say, excuse me, you need to cough up, right, you need to pay, you've been, I said, but what do you mean the bus was going there anyway? I got benefit, Vazela Choser, you didn't gain, there was nothing you lost out on, right? There's nothing you lost out on. Go on.
You lost
Okay, so that's right. Let's talk about it. So all of these things. So that's all these. There's loads and loads and loads of these sorts of things. Let's say we talk about football matches, right? Let's say you see the seat available, okay, and a better seat available. You know that those people, you know, you're a regular season ticket holder, you're on the fourth row, and you see that the guys in the front row are not there. So you move everybody up to the front row, you sit in their seats. So can they come back to you afterwards and ask for the difference, right? Ask for you for the cost of what they would have potentially sold those tickets for. Okay, so all those sorts of things potentially fall under Zenene Vze Lo Chose. Okay, so let's get into it. So first thing is let's do a little bit more Gemara just to see if we can get to some of the discussion in the Gemara, and then we'll move on to the Rishonim and the Halacha and try and figure the topic out a little bit. Okay. Omar Lei, he said to him, Lechi Tashamishli. So the first thing is, this has now been asked as a question. Okay, so very interesting. We said, right, this was now Rav Chista saying to Rami Bar Chama, right, that you missed out on the shear. He said to him, well, tell me what the shear was. And now he's almost asking him the question, right? In a sense, he's asked him now, we were discussing this topic, what do you think about it? So now, Rami Bar Chama's response is, is before he goes and tells him what he thinks about it, he says, first, Omarle, Masnizanhi, it's a Mishnah. Okay, I've got a proof for you from a Mishnah. But before I tell you, hey Masnizan, right, before I tell you which Mishnah it is, Omarle Lechi Tashamishli, go and serve me. Do something for me. Shokal Sudra Korach Le, go and take my sudra, my napkin or whatever it is, some piece of clothing, and fold it up for me. Please put away my coat or whatever it might be. So Omarle, before we get, and then he gives him the answer. Omarle, Imnenes Mishalemus Mashanene. So the first proof he offers is from our Mishnah itself, and we'll get into that proof in a second. But also interesting that everyone picks up on this line where he says to him, it's not just the fact that he said it to him, it's the fact that the Mishnah, that the Gemara thought it worth printing. That when Rav Chista, says to Rami Bar Chama, before I give you the answer, please go and hang up my coat, why is that worth printing? So I think Rabbeinu Chananel over here says something. Potentially others do as well, but I had a feeling I saw it on the page as well. Okay, I don't see it now. Yeah, did I come around? Okay. Anyway, I don't remember who it was, but somebody says, or many were shown him. Oh, actually, let's see it in the Shari Yosha. I'll turn to the back. What does this mean? It means that when you want to learn something from somebody, when you want to have a teacher, a real teacher, you know, like somebody very significant, so you're going to learn something particularly in fact, he uses the phrase, particularly in the area of iyun v'yegia, something which requires you to figure it out, right? Like you're really trying to understand something deeply, then you need to have enough respect for the teacher. You need to build a relationship with the teacher to the extent that you're going to stop and think, you know, that you have enough respect for them that you're going to actually stop and think before answering them. So I think it's a very fascinating thing that, and the Shari Yosha, Rav Shimon Shkop, talks about this at length, and he says that basically, I think about this, you know, with my teachers, when I have Rav Nebensal or Rav Shechter or these great people who I was able to learn from, sometimes they say things that are a little bit strange, you know, you're very surprised at first. So in order to be able to plumb those depths, in order to be able to sort of, you know, to get into those sugyas and those deep discussions and try and figure it out together, you have to have enough to recognize that when they say something that's strange, we don't dismiss it out of hand. We're going to say, you know, if that's something that they said, then that's significant enough. So you have to build that relationship with them. So I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but now there's also this tendency to tell a lot of stories about great rabbis and, you know, make them out to be very again, some of them might be true, some of them not true. And while generally I think, you know, you can be a little bit careful with overdoing it, I also think it's good to build that sense of great people, because again, when we're talking about from a student to a rebbe to your particular, it doesn't mean any rabbi, but you know, your particular teacher, I think that's a very powerful thing. But there are certain great teachers throughout the generations who are everyone's rabbi in a sense. You know, when you have Rashi, when you have Tosas, when you have Rabbi Akiva Ego, or the Vilna Gaon, or whoever it is, right? Those are teachers of all of the people of Israel. And it's important to build a sense that when they say something, right, when you read a Rashi and it sounds very odd and sounds very strange, that it's not something that we just sort of move on from and say, oh, well, you know, that's his opinion and I have my opinion, right? It's something that we do sit with and recognize it's something more significant. So that's what Rav Shimon Shkop and others say is what's going on in this Gemara. Why he says to him, first, you've got to hang up my coat, right? If you want to understand what I'm saying, go hang up my coat, you know, build that sort of level of basic respect, and then we can have a discussion about it. Because his initial answer seems strange. Let's come back to our discussion itself. The question was, Zenen of Azelo Choser. I get benefit and you don't lose anything. So should I be paying, should I not be paying? And his answer is that we have a proof from our Mishnah. Im nenes, mashalemes, mashanenes. Now what were we talking about in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, if you get benefit, you have to pay for it. That's not talking about a case of lo choser. That's not talking about where you don't lose out. It's talking about when your animal ate my food. Of course it was choser. I lost my, what do you mean? I lost my food because your animal ate it. That's lo choser. So it does sound strange. And that's what the Gemara says. Omer Rava, Kamalu Chole Vilei Margish Gavra Demore Saye. Right? What does that mean? That doesn't. That's difficult to understand. The Afal Gav Delo Domi Limasnisin Kablomaneh shows how great. Rami Bar Chama was that he was able to take this answer, that he took this seriously, even though it's not at all similar to what the Mishnah is talking about. Hai ne'er, the Gemara asked the exact question that we just asked. Hai ne'er, v'zeh choser, that our Mishnah is not talking about where it's benefiting without losing. Hai ne'er, v'zeh choser, we're talking about where I'm benefiting and you are losing, right? Your animal ate my food. Hai zeh ne'er, hai zeh ne'er, v'zeh lo choser, who, so, One was where you are losing out. One was where you're not losing out. So what is the comparison between the case of parking in someone's driveway and your animal eating my fruit? That doesn't make any sense. So Rami Bar Chama explained, Stam Pirus, Pirushus Arabim. We're talking about fruits. Classically, when you're talking about fruits, they're sitting in a public place. They're sitting somewhere else. They're gonna go off. Afgure mafgir lahu, and therefore they're almost like hefker, considered like hefker, and that's why it's a case of lo choser, and that's why he's bringing a proof from this mishnah. So again, whether you accept the proof or not, potentially you can see it within our mishnah. So let's just explain that a moment. The fruits that the animal ate. Who did they belong to? They belong to someone. Did they lose out as a result? So what Rami Bar Chama is saying is that the assumption is that we must be talking about fruits which are sitting on the side. That's why the animal's gone from them. They're clearly not being looked after very well, and therefore the owner's clearly not so bothered, and therefore it's considered lo choser. I'll give you. So we don't have a lot of these sorts of cases, but I'll give you a similar example which occurred to me. I used to have a friend, still is a friend, but doesn't do this anymore, who lived in Israel and would travel to the UK occasionally for business. And since they would travel occasionally, they didn't bother keeping a car, or they had a very old car, and they didn't bother buying a new car. It wasn't worth having another new car in the UK. Now, the car got to such a stage that when they came back, they would have to charge up the battery, and the battery would run down every time they turned off the car. So when they came to visit us for 10 minutes or so, 20 minutes, they would leave the car running outside the house. Now, this is before we were talking about our carbon footprint as much, maybe. But they'd leave the car running outside our house. So that's maybe potentially this similar case. It's not that they made the car hefker. It's not that the car doesn't belong to them anymore. But to be honest, if the car were to disappear, it wouldn't have bothered them hugely, right? So it's a pretty old car. They're not really using it much. So maybe that's this sort of case. You know, it's local. The point is, he's put the fruit on the side, right? You know, the fact that your animal came along and ate it. So that's the proof that Rami Bar Chama is trying to bring. So again,
you do lose benefit because if it was taken, left keys in the ignition.
Yeah, but you'd up. But the point is, he clearly wasn't bothered. Meaning, he was ready to accept that sort of. It was an old car. You know, he wasn't so bothered. But you're right. I'm sure that he wouldn't have. I'm sure that he wouldn't have got any insurance. Yeah. I'm sure he wouldn't have. No, I don't think he would have been bothered. That was the point. I think he sort of like assumed that it will disappear at some point, and it never did. By the way, it was that bad. No one ever did take it. Yeah, you could do. So I think that's why we don't. The Gemara is basically going to now bring a few proofs, which we're going to knock out all of them. None of them really end up being proofs. What I was trying to explain, or what the Gemara was explaining, is why it could be viewed as a proof for Zen and Zelo Chaser. So I think you're right. In practice, we don't really see this as a proof of having to pay where you don't get benefit. But what Rami Bar Chama, is it Rami Bar Chama? Yeah, what Rami Bar Chama was saying was trying to explain why you could view it as a proof, right? You could view this as lo choser, as not losing out, potentially because the owner had left it on the side, showing that they weren't particularly bothered about it. Okay, so let's bring a few more proofs or potential proofs. We're going to knock out all of them. I think there's four or five more relatively quick proofs. And then as I said, we'll hopefully should have. We finished 10:45. Yeah, we should have enough time to talk a little bit about the actual discussion of Zen and of Zelo Choser itself in practice, how we would apply it, Okay, Omar Rava. We are. towards the top of Chof HaMoed. Yeah, third line down. End of the third line down. Omer Rava. Kamo lo choli velo marg. Oh, no, sorry. We just did that bit. Zenev zel choser. And we explained Afgurim Afgelehu. Sorry. So we are now up to Tanan. The next proof. A few lines below that. Tanan. So this is now about eight lines down. Eight lines down. The next, the end of the line. Yeah. And then starting at the beginning of the ninth line. Tanan, the Mishnah says as follows. Hamakif chaveiro misholosh ruchosov. Let's say you surrounded somebody on three sides. What does that mean? You can see a helpful, if you have Rashi there, you can see a helpful image in the Rashi. It's not so... not so critical, but if you have a field which is surrounded on three sides by other fields, okay? So you, Shimon has the field in the middle, and Reuven owns the fields that surround it on three sides, okay? So what do you do? Goder, so he surrounds him on three sides. Goder is harishona, v'goder is harishona, v'es hashnia v'es hashlishis. Now you put up a fence on the three sides, right, to mark off your field versus their field. So, but their field is obviously being protected as well. The fact that you have made this, there are different ways actually that you can read this. I think it's machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos exactly how you what the case is. But let's go with Rashi for now. Slightly simpler reading, I think. At least, yeah. Let's leave it as that. So you make a fence between your property and their property on three sides. So Reuven makes the fence on three sides. Ein mechayvin oso. You cannot charge Shimon for the fencing. Yeah, what do you mean? We're sharing the boundary, so maybe you should pay. Shimon should be paying me for half the fence, right? I know here now we have establishment as to which side who pays for the fence, but let's say there's no clear idea as to who should pay for a fence. It's a boundary, so according to the Gemara, you should split it 50-50. But in this particular case, you don't have to. Reuven has decided to put up the fence, even though Shimon's property is getting benefit. Because he is being protected on those three sides, Reuven still cannot try and get money from him to pay for half the fencing. Horavius, but the implication is that if he put up the fourth fence, i.e. on the fourth side, let's say he owned a property on the bottom side as well, and now he has enclosed Shimon's property from all sides and therefore enabled Shimon's property to be guarded from all sides, then mechayven oso, right? The implication is that now you can charge Shimon to pay for his half of the fencing or of the wall of the
all the fencing, which is support.
I would assume all of it, but you're right, that's also unclear. I would think all of it. Yeah. Mechayven oso, you have to pay. You can do Shema Mina. This shows us Zenen Evezelo Choser Chayov. Shimon has benefited. Reuven has not lost because he would put up the fence anyway, right? He was putting up the fence anyway, and yet the implication of this Mishnah is Chayev. Therefore, he does have to pay. So we see that Zenen Evezelo Choser. If you get benefit and the other person doesn't lose, then you're liable. So that's attempted proof. The Gemara very quickly Shiny Hassan. No, that's not the same. That's not a fair case. Why? The Omar Le at Goramt Li Hekefa Yesera. It says, no, it's not fair. Meaning, i.e., basically what he's saying is, I was choser, right? I was choser. Why? Because you caused me to have to... It's not just about... Yeah, Reuven is saying, I was choser. I had to make better fences. I had to make stronger fences, it sounds like, because of your property in the middle, right? That's what the implication is, i.e., I was worried about people coming in to your fence and then, into your property and then being able to get into my property. The only reason I put up a fence was because of you. It's not that I was doing it anyway for myself. I was doing it because your property is stuck in the middle, and that's why I put up the fence. So therefore, it's not zenen avezeh lo choser, it's zenen avezeh choser. You are benefiting and I was losing out. I am losing out. I had to put up the fence because of you. So... Let's say you did. He does. He has a wall on the outside. I mean, not that the sketch is one way or another, but in my sketch, it looks like he's got a wall on the outside as well.
No,
Reuven is the outer guy.
Yeah. So what he's done is put a fence around Shimon.
To me, it looks like he's got a fence around the other side. But like I said, let's forget the sketch, because the sketch is not it doesn't, the point. Let's assume he's got fences everywhere, right? He's got fences all over, and in fact, sorry, that's exactly, sorry, George, that's your point. The point is exactly that, meaning, let's say he doesn't have fences there. That's exactly what Reuben's saying. I've only put up fences because of you, right? I'm only worried about this...
Yeah, what I'm saying is he should therefore surround the rest of his...
Oh, I see. Well. Okay, maybe. Maybe. But again, either way, it doesn't count as a proof, right? This doesn't count as an obvious proof. Yes, David.
I thought the premise on which this started was that he had three sides built by the other guy, and he had just added a fourth.
No, what do you mean built by the other guy? He built them himself.
No, the inner Shimon built...
No, Reuven built them all. Reuven built them all.
What was the original thing then about a first, a second, and a third?
He built three fences. The Gemara says you cannot then go and claim them half the money from Shimon. If you put up the fourth, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But if you then built the fourth, then you can claim money, as Andy points out, potentially for all of them, right? That's certainly how I read the Gemara. Yeah. Then you can claim for all of them, because now you're showing, because now Shimon's getting full benefits and you're not losing out. So the Gemara says no. The reason you're allowed to claim money in that case is because you are losing out, because you had to pay for the fences in the first place. Tashma, I'm going to bring another try and bring another proof. Omer Rabbi Yossi, excuse me, Rabbi Yossi says, "Im Omad Nikaf v'Godar." Again, similar case. Im Omad Nikaf. The Nikaf being Shimon in the middle. Let's say Reuven built the first three fences, right? Reuven built the first three, and then Shimon put up the fourth one. Yeah, Vagodar Saravias, Magalgilin Olav Esakol. Then it's not worth it, because then he's going to be charged for half of the first three. Timer, the Godar Nikaf. The reason, right, what we're trying to derive from here is that the reason is the only time he's going to be liable for the first three is because he himself has shown that he's interested in the fences by putting up the fourth one. Ho Makif, but if the other guy did it, Potter. Why? Because again, Shemaminon Zenen of Zelechosa. Even though he is getting benefit, it's only when he shows actively that he's interested in the fencing that he's going to be liable. But if he wouldn't have shown that he was interested in the fencing, then the implication of this is that if even though he was getting benefit, he would still not be liable to pay. Does everyone follow that? So again, the point is that in a case where Shimon, or the fact that the Mishnah seems to go out of its way to point out that if Shimon built the fourth fence, he's liable, makes it sound like if Reuven built the fourth fence, Shimon wouldn't be liable. Which again sounds like Zeno and Zelo Choser Potter. So we're putting it in the other direction. And then the Gemara again knocks this proof out. Shiny Hossam, no, that's different. To Omar Lay, because he could say to him, Ladidi Sagi Li Binatira Bar Zuzo. No, because again, he says I would have put up a simpler fence, right? The reason why I put up a bigger fence is for your sake, right? Is because of it would have been enough in a sense in a sense it's not called Zenene, it's called Zelonene, right? Because you're not actually gaining that much more benefit. I would have been happy with a small offense, and therefore not necessarily liable to pay. Toshima, going to bring another attempted proof. Let's bring another attempted proof. Habayis v'ha'aliyah, shel shnayim. Let's say you have one house on top of another. Okay, one property on top of another, and shenoflu. They both fell down. Everyone's safe, but now you've got to rebuild them. Well, that's the question, right? Isn't it going to cost us a lot of money? So Omar Baal Ha'aliyah Labal Abayis Livnos. So the guy who had the top house, the top flat, the top floor, needs the guy underneath to build his first, right? I can't build my penthouse until you've built the one underneath. So he says to him, go on, you build it. V'huena Rotza. He says, no, I don't want to. You know, I'm going to move somewhere else. I don't want to build the house. So fine, okay. So then Hare Baal Ha'aliyah Bonos. Nineveh. So then the top guy builds the lower house. He says, all right, fine, you're not going to do it. I'm going to build the first house. V'yoshev bo ad sheyitein lo yitziyosof. And he dwells in it until he gets back. V'yoshev bo ad sheyitein lo, until he gets from the first guy, yitziyosof. The amount he dwells in it until he gets effectively the equivalent of rent from this balabais, right? That's how he sort of makes his money back. Yitziyosof hu demechayev lei. Now we get to see that he's allowed to claim back. He's allowed to gain from his. We're not being clear here. The top fellow is now living effectively in the bottom guy's house, and the amount that he would have got in rent, the amount that he would have had to pay in rent is considered to be benefit that is covering his costs of having built it. But the Gemara says Yetziyosef hu demechayev lei. It's only once he's it is only the amount that he had paid for the benefit for building the property that he's allowed to gain from that demichayev lebalabais, that lower property is going to be giving to him. Hosechoro, no, right? But the fact that he, but more than that, right? The benefit, the rent that goes up over and above that, you can't claim. Shemamino, and this seems to be a proof. Zenene v'zelo choser poter, right? The fact that he's benefiting and he is not losing out, you're not liable, right? You're not gaining anything. No. Shani hasam devesa la'alyo mishtabed. That particular case is different because it sounds like the bias underneath is meshubah to the aliyah. It's more strongly linked. It's in a sense, it required the part above to be there, right? It sounds like it's a different sort of arrangement, and therefore, again, not such a great proof. We're gonna. One more time. Yeah, that's true. That was the initial thing. But then the Gemara concludes that basically, let's see if Rashi explains it a little bit more clearly. Shal habayis lizbol ha'aliyah hilkachadin huzeh loderba. Yeah, that the. It's the last chapter of Bomatir, yeah. Habayis V'Aliyah, right? Yeah.
Just to clarify the case, you're saying that the guy in the upper story built the house
down below,
and he offsets any rent he would have had to pay until his costs have been covered. Is that the case?
Which is essentially putting the obligation on the.
I think so. Let me just make sure again. Yes, correct. And then at that point he builds above it. That's what it sounds like.
So therefore,
he can build it on his behalf, and then he can live in that house because the fellow owes him the money for having built it for him, and he lives in that house for as long as the rent would in a sense cover the costs of his having built it, and then at that point the other fellow can move in and then he has to build one above. That's what
it
sounds like.
Essentially saying that the owner of the bottom half has an obligation to build
yes.
the bottom half.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And to put him up in accommodation until that half has been built. Yeah.
I think the Gemara's response is exactly that. I think the Beis Al Aliyah Mishtabed basically is saying that you have that responsibility. The Gemara is not saying in the initial reading it's not that he has the responsibility. It sounds like he doesn't have the responsibility, and that's why the fellow's gone to do it anyway, right? Meaning you can't force him to build it. He says, no, I don't want to. I'm on holiday, I'm not going to build it. But then I do it anyway. And then we try to bring that as a proof of Zenene Vezele Choser. I'm not getting any, since he's not losing out, the fellow on the lower floor is not losing out, I've built there anyway. And then I recoup my costs. Through the rent that I would have had to pay. But then
I think the point is that the person who refused to rebuild liable then to pay the rent for the guy to find the terms of accommodation.
Yes, yes.
If he builds it and lives in it,
yes,
he would have to have paid him anyway.
Exactly. And therefore correct, and therefore that's where he's making his money on the rebuilding. But I think that I think what the shiny hus on the Gemara's conclusion is the Beis al Ali Mishtabed means that you do have to, that there is a responsibility, that in a sense that case is not a good case of lo chos of zen and of zen lo choser, of just gaining benefit without the person losing out, because actually he does have a responsibility to do it. So since he has a responsibility to build your lower floor in order that you can build above it, that's not a classic case of you gaining benefit without actually without, or him gaining benefit without you actually losing out. If you could prove that, but again, that the fellow downstairs could claim that the fellow upstairs didn't build it properly, and that's why it fell on the top. So yeah, you're right. If you were assuming case where you can't prove either, presumably, you can't prove either way. But yes, you're right. Or maybe it was just random. I don't know. They were both hit by a tornado, right? And now you have to rebuild them. That seems that we've removed that factor. Yeah.
There was an earthquake or something.
Right. Again, but this is not a case of Zen and of Zelo Chosa. Yeah, so you're right, the top.
Actually, you can get insurance out for earthquake in Israel.
Okay.
Most people do get it, have got insurance against earthquakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When you say most people, as an individual, you would get that?
Yeah.
For your own house? Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, my flat.
Would we not have that here? What would be the rule? I mean, if it.
It's an act of God, isn't it?
Is that the act of God is excluded from assurance?
Yeah, because in Israel, is it any different from silence? It is usually caused by the underlying texture of the ground.
No, because in Israel, you've got potential for earthquake, which is
fine. Right.
Whereas, in fact, funnily enough, following the Turkish earthquake, there's been some reports written about the fact that a lot of houses, the older houses need to be reinforced to make sure they're collapsing.
Oh, interesting. In Israel, yeah, okay. Okay, let's rush. We're fast running out of time, and I want to make sure we talk about the actual discussion. So let's bring one more proof. I know we're flying through the Gemara, but truth is, we can leave stuff over as well. Next time will also be interesting to discuss. Tashema. In fact, maybe we'll do that anyway. Leave most of it. We'll start it off, but maybe we'll leave some more of the discussion for next time. Tor Shema. Let's bring one more proof, and then we'll pause there and look at some of the Rishonim. Tor Shema. What is the? Let's attempt one more proof. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af ze hadar b'chatzer chavero shalomidaita. This is the closest one to what we've been talking about. This is not talking about using a driveway, but literally you live in somebody's house. They've got an empty house and squatters move in, right? So potentially it's zen and nevezelo choser. You live in somebody's house. Shalomidaita, he doesn't know. Tzorich lahalos lo schar. So the Rabbi Huda says you do have to pay him. You have to pay him rent. Shmamina. What do we see from here? Zen and Uzelo Choser Chayev. You benefited as the squatter. I didn't lose out. The house was sitting empty anyway. And liable, you chayev. Shiny Hosom. No, that's not a good proof. Why? Mishum Shachrurisa de Ashyosa. So we say there, the walls are getting black. This is the literal translation. The walls are getting blackened as you use it, i.e. you're lighting a fire, right, in order to keep yourself warm, in order to cook food, and therefore the walls are getting blackened as you're doing it, i.e. that is choser. Basically, using the house is you know, the fact that you're benefiting, exactly, there's going to be wear and tear, there's going to be stuff that's going to be lost out as a result. Okay, so that is... Let's go. Wear and tear, actually, the Gemara, it's unclear from the Gemara how significant that has to be. Let's say, for example, I don't live in your house, but while you're out, right, I sit on your sofa for a half an hour. You know, I come into your garden and I sit on your patio, on your nice lawn chair. Okay, I come into your garden and I sit on your nice lawn chair. So how much wear and tear are you getting? Yes, in theory, I don't know if you could quantify this, but maybe out of every lawn chair you get 10,000 sits before it collapses or something, you know, 10,000 sessions before the screws go. So maybe I've used one of those 10,000 sits. Yeah, there's a little bit of minor wear and tear. So that's an interesting, let's see if we come back to that later, whereas the blackening of the walls maybe is more of a... is more notable, is more significant, and therefore that's what you're liable. Or no, or maybe we'll say no. Any sort of wear and tear is considered to be significant. Okay, so I think there's a few interesting things. I mean, the truth is, we should leave it over for next time what the halacha is, but I think it's worth talking about now, even though let's come back. The Gemara does. We'll review it again next week, but I still think it's worth looking at.
Come down also whether the permission was granted by the owner.
Well, does it?
Well, it seems to me that.
Go on, because?
Because they're talking about being in a courtyard without permission.
It doesn't say without permission. Shalom Idaito means without his knowledge. We haven't talked about, in a sense, at the moment, permission has not been discussed. So let's come back to that. We're doing this a little bit backwards, and we'll come back, which is why I phrased it the other way around. Initially, I said, A, are you, you know, A, can I use your property? And B, if I do, do I have to pay? But really, the way it's presented in the Gemara, the way the discussion actually happens, seems to be, A question is, do you have to pay? And B question is, are you allowed to do it? The Gemara doesn't talk about whether you're allowed to do it. The Gemara only talks about whether you have to pay. The Gemara is talking about, it's really what we call lechatchila and bedievet, right? Lechatchila and bedievet are terms that we often use in terms of what you should do and what you should, or what's the ideal and what's not the ideal. But the real translation of the term lechatchila and bedievet doesn't really mean the best versus the second best. What they really mean is lechatchila means a priori, before the fact, and b'dievet means it's already happened, right, after the fact. Are we talking about a case where the Gemara is clearly talking about a case where you're bringing the squatters to court after a year, or you come back and you discover that this fellow has been using your driveway for the last few months, and you bring them to court, can you now claim? Can you give them a bill as a result? That's the real question of the Gemara. Whether you're allowed to do it, let's see in just a moment. So let's start off we'll jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. Really, as I said, you know, the Gemara does talk about this, but the Gemara, I don't know if this is interesting, but I did notice when I looked this up in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is obviously divided into simonim, right? Different sections, and usually each simon has a theme, and it gives a title to it. The Shulchan Aruch always gives a title to it. Usually, there's a connection between, if you have different parts in it, connection. But it is interesting that this particular simon, Shim Samach Gimel 363, is Hagozel Behemov Avadim. Let's say someone who steals your animal or your servant, v'his kinu, when they got older, v'hadar b'chotzer chaver shalom idaita, and somebody who dwells in their, I guess that is the link, really. Actually, that's going to be a proof, which we'll come back to. The point is that the animal got older, and the servant got older as you did it. So let's say when you return them, when you give them back, you're not getting back exactly the same thing that was stolen in the first place. So I guess that's the connection between the two, which is also an interesting discussion. So this is now in Sifvot. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Let's say you live in your friend's property, Shalom Edaito, without their knowledge. Sha'omar lo tseh. Okay, so the first thing is that the Gemara says, Sha'omar lo tseh. Let's say you said to them, let's say they, this is Andy's point. They clearly said, go out, right? I don't give you permission. Velo yotza, and then you didn't go out, chayev. Then you're required to pay. Okay, so if I said you have to leave, and then you didn't leave, then clearly you're required to pay. So chayev liten lo schoro, then you have to pay them the value. Let's just pause there. So I think, personally, that this is what gets rid of a lot of the questions that have come up over the years, like the bus question. The bus question to me is this. The bus question is not, I get on and say, Zenon of Zelo Choser, I'm benefiting and you're going there anyway. The point is that there is an implicit expectation that I do not let you on this bus unless you're paying, right? I have said to you, go off the bus unless you're going to pay. And if you haven't paid, then you do have to pay. I think that's a similar example. This question came up a lot. I remember it as a in my late teens, was the time when everyone started, like the early sort of internet explosion, people started downloading music, you know, where you were able to free download music and stop buying CDs. So that was a big question. So some wanted to say that Zenen Evzelo Choser, I'm benefiting, I get the music, I'm benefiting, they're not losing out anyway, right? It doesn't matter. So I think, and others have pointed this out, that that's not a case of Zenen Evzelo Choser, because there, again, they are clearly explicitly saying, we want you to buy this, right? We do want you to buy this. It's not that they that it's just sitting there derelict.
Well, they didn't. They said they want you to free download it. There wasn't a subscription for
this. No. This was illegal download. I'm talking about like what they used to call Napster, where you used to be able to. That was that they weren't sanctioned by the company. Now you have all this.
It was by Napster.
But Napster was a bootleg organization. I don't know what they.
From Napster, not from RCA.
But where did they get it from? You're saying.
Well, they create.
Okay, so that's a separate. So. Well, I don't know how Napster worked, but when you say you're downloading it from Napster, I think you're downloading it from somebody else who had
downloaded it from the record company.
Is that true? Was that how it worked? Surely not, because then they would have been shut, weren't they? Wouldn't they have been? I thought it was like
they
were doing that. So fine. So maybe they were liable. So they were liable then.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. So maybe it wasn't you personally who was liable. Right. Okay. So yeah. Okay. Interesting. But yeah, you're right. So then. Right, I see. You're saying you know you shouldn't be doing it, but they can't claim anything from you.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Can they claim from you? Presumably not.
Why not? If you know that's not stolen, is it? I mean,
no. Let's say that
Napster stolen it, and you know that Napster.
They're not getting
downloaded
illegally.
Napster,
are you?
Napster's
not getting paid.
You know.
Yeah, but that was his problem. But
that's your problem as well, because you know about it. If you didn't know anything about it, it'd be different, but you know about it, therefore you are condemned.
Again, sorry. As I pointed out at the beginning, all of this discussion in the Gemara at the moment is are you liable to pay, not whether you're allowed to do it. Okay, so we haven't got on to the question. We'll have to leave over next time whether you're allowed to do it. The question is whether, if you're taken to Bet Din, are you, you know, would they require you to pay? So I think you're all raising an interesting point that potentially in the music download, I don't know how, I can't remember how it worked.
Who would you pay?
You'd pay whoever had the rights for the music. I think who to pay is the easy question. The question is who has to pay. You're saying, does Napster have to pay if they were the ones?
That's why they shut Napster down.
Yeah. Okay. So potentially they. But again, yeah, maybe. I had understood, maybe misunderstood it. I remembered it being a file sharing thing. So in a sense, I was taking it from somebody else who already had the music. They would upload the CD, and I was able to then take it from them. Yeah, I don't know. Potentially, again, I'm also not passing on this. Let's update the question, okay? Maybe using someone's account, let's say a Netflix account or a Amazon account or something else, right? To get access to things which you wouldn't, which you haven't paid for, right? They've paid for their account, and you're now using the same thing. So, listen.
What's the change? It's not anymore because they've now said you can't do it.
That's what they said. I don't know the rules of these things.
So they were aware.
Why? Once upon a time, they used to say it was okay, or they just were unclear.
Share it with X.
Oh, really?
And now they're saying no.
Uh-huh, interesting. Okay, so I don't know. So that is so far as I can see, that is correct. That's the same as Omar Lotse, right? So Omar Lotse, you're saying you have to leave. Velo Yotza, you didn't go out. Then Chayev Litain Lo Kol Schor. Then you do have to pay for the whole thing. And more than that, I think we have run out of time. So I'll just throw in one more interesting case, and then we'll pick up with the rest next time. There's lots more interesting things. There's a Tosus at the top, which is definitely worth seeing, which does talk more about whether you have to do it. But there's another interesting case that came up with apparently. I don't know. There used to be a newspaper column in Israel where they talked about all sorts of different Bedouin questions that came up. So apparently there was, this is a very Israeli question, young boys who were away for Bin Azmanim, they went away camping, basically, and they had all their sleeping bags and everything, but then it was a bit colder than they were expecting, so they basically snuck into a local hotel, and they found the empty rooms in the hotel. They didn't use any of the sheets, they didn't use anything else, right? They said they didn't have a shower or anything, but they just put their sleeping bags in the hotel rooms, and they slept in the hotel room. So the question was, are they liable to pay or not? So again, I think that the psak was that that is like Omer Lotse, that is the same. A hotel very clearly has a policy that you are not allowed, you know, whether or not they snuck past the guard actively or not, but they put people there. If you walk into a hotel, they ask you, are you staying here? You know, if they see that you're there, they will ask you to leave. So that's not Zenen of Zelo, or that is Zenen of Zelo Choser. But you were, in a sense, were implicitly asked to leave, potentially. Implicitly asked to leave. Yeah.
I remember doing that as a teenager.
Oh, yeah? That's impressive.
I don't have to go to the pee.
Yeah, I would think that that's implicitly allowed. You mean just to use their facilities, I would think that they expect that to happen. That's something they expect. I had a similar question. I was very frustrated. We were away recently in Israel. There was no minyan. The closest minyan was a hotel. It was a hotel across the road. So I knew the hotel, and I'd been there before. And if you go there other times, they let you in. So I happened to go there on one day. I don't know, the guy, they seemed to be cracking down on who was allowed in. So when I got there for Shacharit in the morning, he said to me, are you staying here? I said, no, I said, I'm just coming for Shacharit. He said, no, he said, it's only for hotel guests. I said, but what if I was coming to visit a friend? Then you would let me in. He said, okay, that's different. I said, I'm coming in anyway. So it happened to be, as I was standing there having this debate with the guy, a fellow I knew walked downstairs. So I said to him, I'm coming to visit him. So he said, what's his name? So I told him his name. So he said, what room is he in? So I said, well, let me go and ask him and I'll let you know. So he let me run in and I asked my friend, I said, what room are you in? So he told me the room. So I came back and told the guard. He said, okay, fine. So that was the... So, yeah. I said, it doesn't make any sense. You know, you can't go in. So in the end, I visited. So I was visiting my friend for Shacharit instead of...
Yeah.